Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
All right, welcome in everybody on this Sunday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. Hope all of you had a great and happy weekend. It has been brutally hot here in Mississippi, so hope you found a way to stay cool. And glad that you guys are here. Again, quick note, I told you last time, but just a reminder, we'll not be here on Tuesday, so no Tuesday live stream. Little Man and I are going up to watch Team USA soccer play. Which I don't, I mean, he's excited. And I was excited until whatever the heck yesterday was from them. But anyway, you guys aren't here to talk about that. But that's why we're going to be off on Tuesday. And so I'll see you guys again on Thursday. But here tonight, we're talking about the House settlement. It got approved late on Friday night, like after 9 o'clock on Friday night. And look, there's a lot of hyperbole in the reaction to it, but also it's true. I mean, college sports has now officially changed forever. Now, it's already been changed. They've already been professionals. They've already been getting paid, but now this is the schools directly paying the athletes a percentage of the revenue. It's not anywhere close to over. This does not, it's called a settlement. Frankly, I don't think it settles anything. I read the statement from the ADs and all that stuff. It's not anywhere close to over. But more importantly for this podcast, is it bad for Ole Miss? Is the House settlement getting approved ultimately bad or good for Ole Miss? That's what we're talking about tonight. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report if you're watching or listening over on YouTube. You got a podcast app on your phone. Search Rebel Report, subscribe. If you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And if you're here on YouTube, like and leave a comment and all that good stuff as well. I would appreciate you doing just that. And before we get into it, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on Exit 40 in Brookhaven, but you don't have to live there to shop there. That's what I tell you guys all the time. I had a very bad car buying experience from a different dealership in my backyard because I went the convenience route. And I didn't get treated the way that you will get treated at Toyota of Brookhaven. Tell them I sent you. $1,000 off on me. $1,000 off on me. Just tell them that I sent you. When you get there, they have a service department. So if you live in the area, Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, one of the highest rated service departments in the state, so they can take care of your car. But more importantly, they will take care of you if you're looking for a new vehicle. It's a big purchase, and you want to do it with people that will actually take care of you and treat you like a person. That is what will happen at Toyota of Brookhaven. They have great in-house financing, an awesome new and used selection. And again, $1,000 on me. Just tell them that I sent you. So one thing that I am my own worst critic. I actually had a conversation with one of my bosses the other day just about how I don't think Monday and Tuesday's radio shows were good. And it was like totally my fault. I am my own worst critic. I probably overanalyze myself sometimes. This is kind of what I do. But I care very much about you guys in our radio audience because you guys are what allows me to do this and pay my bills and all that stuff. One thing that I know that we've done well over the last couple of years, especially the last 6 months or so, is informing, especially our radio audience, but I think you guys have heard a lot of it as well, but informing our radio audience about what the House settlement is, what it means, the progress of it. Hey Dad hates it because he just wants to talk about games, and I respect him and love him for it. But there's a reason why anytime something new came up with the House settlement, I brought it up and talked about it because I wanted you guys, for as much as I could inform you, it's not like I'm some, you know, genius expert or whatever, but I tried to inform as much as possible about this because it's a big deal. And I noticed a lot of people on Friday after it got approved were kind of blindsided by it. Not our audience. They shouldn't be. And you guys should not be either. It is what schools have been preparing for a long, long time. That's why, as we talked about, they're selling Grove spots because they have to compensate for the $20 million that's disappearing from their budget to pay the athletes. That's why we talked about after the Mississippi State series, a lot of people on here and online were talking about, well, what does it take to move on from Mike Bianco? Well, when you sell out season tickets and you know, the program is trending back in the right direction and it's making money with the house settlement, it would be a reckless financial decision. That's the kind of stuff that we've talked about over and over and over again. So you guys knew that this was coming. But in case you didn't, I'm not going to get into all like every detail of the house settlement and what it is and the, you know, the backdating 10 years and how they came to that conclusion. I'm just going to get to the important part. If you want to read the entire thing, Ross Dellinger is the best. He's a friend of our show. I'm going to get him, hopefully, if he's got time. I'm going to ask him to do a long-form interview with me that I'll put in this podcast feed, you know, maybe Thursday or Friday, is if he's got the time, just to kind of go through all of it with you guys. The important part of it is, though, is that it now opens up revenue sharing with athletes. And on top of it opening up revenue sharing, the important part is it's just north of $20 million that is capped at that number. It's like $20.5 million. And every school is capped at that number. It is not a percentage reflection of what your school's individual revenue is. Somebody that covers Mississippi State tried to say that Haydad and I were incorrect about that. We were not. It is, everybody is capped at that number. They can distribute that money however they see fit. In SEC country, I mean, you're going to see something like 75 to 80% football, 10% men's basketball, 5% the rest, stuff like that. And it'll vary based on school because they can do it at their own discretion. So then, well, what does this mean for NIL deals? As part of the house settlement, they have created a commission or whatever, and they're also going to pay Deloitte, yeah, the accounting firm, to oversee, be a clearinghouse for any third-party NIL deal for athletes. Anything over $600 has to go through this clearinghouse and get approved. If it is not what they determine to be fair market value, they will deny that deal. So that is essentially what it is. There's also roster limits or scholarship increases. Baseball will now get to have full scholarship players, which I think it will help Ole Miss a little bit, help Mississippi State a little bit, since there's no, you know, lottery scholarship system here in Mississippi like there is where I grew up in South Carolina. But that's the gist of it. Hard-capped schools paying athletes directly. NIL deals, if they're over $600, have to be approved through Deloitte to be fair market value as they determine it. And if it's not, they will deny it. Okay, that is what the important part of this is. Now, if it stands as it is forever, okay, that's a very important thing. I'll get to why it won't in a minute. But if it were to stand as it is forever, is it bad for Ole Miss? Yes, and also no. Okay, so I'm a fence straddler, but I'll tell you what I mean by that. So, yes, it's bad for Ole Miss from this perspective. The NIL era has been very good to Ole Miss, but not because Ole Miss is the richest program in the country. Never has been, never will be. Ole Miss has never had the most money, even in this era, despite them navigating it and being very successful. I saw Stuart Mandel say something like, you know, how is Ole Miss now with the house settlement going to be able to compete financially with Texas? It's like they never have. They've never been able to. Even in this era, they're not competing financially with Texas, okay? Ole Miss has not been rich. They have been well-funded. They have been organized. That's the thing. Ole Miss in this era had a bunch of people pulling the rope in the same direction, and that direction was unified in the pursuit of winning, generally speaking, without ego, right? You didn't have one collective here, one there, booster faction here, booster faction there. It was very easy for Ole Miss because of people that were involved in the organization of the Grove Collective. And also, I, as I've said before, and as you guys have said to me before on here, that the NCAA investigation with Hugh Freeze kind of pulled back the veil of what college sports is really about. And Ole Miss fans were, the second you could pay players, it was boom, go do it, because it's always been a farce and now it's time to strike back, that kind of mentality. So a lot of organization, people involved, really smart people that put that together and have run it well, very wealthy people have donated, the fans crowdfunded the heck out of it, it was really good. All of that was really good for Ole Miss, and they have thrived in that era as a result. Why it could be bad is because all of that technically would go away. If you have a clearinghouse denying NIL deals because they're not fair market value, then other people who are not as organized can catch up. Take Florida, for example. Florida has a much larger alumni base than Ole Miss, but Ole Miss has been much better and more organized in this era. Think about the Rashada deal with Florida. I mean, they gave a guy a contract worth a dollar amount that they didn't even have for one player, let alone everybody. And it became a disaster, and there was lawsuits and all that. And it happened at Ole Miss. Take their in-state rival, Mississippi State. Their first NIL collective, I'm not kidding, you guys may not remember this, was baseball only. That was their first NIL collective. Mississippi State started behind because their first collective was baseball only. Ole Miss was kind of a trailblazer on that. So this era has been really good to them. And if everything gets hard capped, truly hard capped, that removes that part of Ole Miss's advantage. But if everything is really, truly, actually hard capped, then that's good for Ole Miss. And here's why. Because like I said before, despite Ole Miss being in sidebar, it always has cracked me up, and I've said this to you guys before, when people are like, how does Ole Miss have all this money to pay players? It's like, oh. A major Southern university with a law school, a medical school, an accounting school, a business school, all of it, wouldn't have wealthy alumni who are into sports. Like, why do you, like, people look at like the financial demographics of the Delta and think that's like the Ole Miss alumni base. It was always so stupid. But anyway, if you have a true hard cap, that means that Texas could not outspend you. If there was a real, true, actual, enforceable hard cap that you could not go over, that means Texas couldn't outspend you anymore. Georgia couldn't outspend you anymore. LSU couldn't outspend you, and on and on and on. Look at the NFL. The Cowboys are the most valuable franchise in the United States of America. They can spend the exact same amount of money on their football team as the Buffalo Bills. And so when you have the same amount of money to spend, it becomes all about evaluation, coaching, culture, that kind of stuff. And so if there's a true hard cap, a real one, there won't be. But if there was a real one, then that is actually, after you get past the collective thing, a good thing for Ole Miss ultimately, because then Texas can't outspend you. Then Georgia can't outspend you. Then it's all about your structure, your coaching, all that kind of stuff. And that's why the Cowboys haven't won a meaningful playoff game since I was 1 year old. And that's why the Buffalo Bills are one of the best franchises in the NFL. That's why the Chiefs have been what they've been. Because then it becomes all about evaluation and efficiency as opposed to who's got the most money. That's the problem here, though, is that there will not be a hard cap, at least not with this. There will not be enforceable rules, at least not with this. And here's a couple of reasons why. And the first one is one that we've talked about a lot, actually, on here and especially on the radio show, is the clearinghouse. The clearinghouse is, I think it's shameful that they put this together and think that it's acceptable. And here's what I mean by that. There was one of you guys on here, one of you commenters owns a landscaping business. And so we'll use that as the example. Somebody calls you, landscaper, and says, hey, I want a cut, a trim, and some bushes trimmed, and that's what I want. You know, cut edge and bushes, and you, the business owner, go to that person's house and give them a quote of $150. That's what the job is going to cost, $150. But then some accountant at KPMG tells you, actually, no, that's an overcharge for that service. You actually are only allowed to charge them $60 for that service. That is a deeply deeply un-American thing at the end of the day, having a third party be able to tell you what you can charge or what you can earn is, it's un-American, ultimately is what it is. And it's also illegal. And so when Deloitte tries to strike down an NIL deal from a player because they determined, some accountant in an office determined that that's a non-market value deal, all that player has to do is go to the right judge and it's over. And that will happen very, very quickly. All the player has to do in that situation is say, judge, I have this third party business that wants to give me money in exchange for my marketing rights. But this accounting firm over here is denying my ability to do that, even though I or a representative for me never agreed to that system being in place. It's over. And that'll happen soon. You think that a conservative judge in an SEC state is going to let Tennessee's quarterback get his NIL deal denied by Deloitte? No, that will not fly. It's a violation. All of this ultimately is a violation of American antitrust law. The people involved have to have a say, either themselves through an employee-employer contract or through collective bargaining as they're represented via a group like a union or a player representative. That's why the NFL can have a salary cap, because the owners negotiate with the players and they come up with a collective bargaining agreement. And that's why there's a salary cap that can actually be enforced. So this clearinghouse thing will not last. Not only is it fundamentally flawed and un-American, it'll get sued into oblivion and it will lose. And frankly, it's frustrating to me. If you want my opinion, I think that there's a way to get to that point. I want personally for college football to have a salary cap. I think that's a good thing to have one, just like it's a good thing in the NFL to have one, because everybody's on the same playing field. The New Orleans Saints and small market New Orleans, when they're well run and well coached, look at what they can become. And then when Sean Payton retires and Drew Brees retires and they make bad hires and bad decisions, that they start playing poorly. It's not about money. It's about structure and organization. That's what I want for college football, but I want it done the right way. I want it done in a way that is actually morally sound, as opposed to this avenue where, again, an accountant at a desk is going to tell people, adult free Americans, how much money they can actually earn. It's wrong morally, in my opinion. I don't understand how so many people that claim to be, you know, politically conservative can support something like this. Makes no sense to me. This is fundamentally against the principles of American conservatism. So that'll get sued into oblivion rather quickly. It will, and it will lose, and then they'll be back to square one. And then the other part is, how can Deloitte ever know if Austin Simmons were to strike an NIL deal? I mean, who's providing that oversight? They're going to hire some investigator to oversee this for Major League Baseball, but how would they ever know that somebody's paying Austin Simmons for something? How would they know? Are they going to seize his bank accounts? That's also, hey, you want to talk about legal issues. So not only is the clearinghouse going to get sued the second they deny one, how would they even know that you're doing it anyway? So in the interim, you're going to get people that are just not filing it anyway. And then the second somebody files it and denies it, they're going to get sued and it's going to be done. Again, rather quickly. Billable hours are going to win in this deal. If you read any analysis of this, I mean, that's all this has done is just opened it up for lawsuits from everybody. Title IX are now, they're going to start suing as well, because the men are going to get paid more than the women. And if you, you know, agree or disagree with that principle, it doesn't matter. That's what's going to happen. Without a doubt, that is what's going to happen. So that'll be also dispatched rather quickly. So this, to me, this is just putting a sock on a leaky faucet. It calms things down temporarily. But and the best part about this for you, the Ole Miss fan, your football and basketball roster has already been paid for. Like there's no more deals getting made. They've all been done, or at least should have been done. And so none of them are even subject to the initial wave of the clearinghouse anyway, because they happened before the settlement. And so by this time next year, when you're recruiting your next basketball class, for example, it'll already be over, in my opinion, by that time. So I want structure. I want rules. The chaos is off-putting to me and everybody else, but this isn't the way, and they're going to find out that this isn't the way, and the lawyers are going to win again. The only way you get out of this is if you get some kind of antitrust exemption or you collectively bargain with the athletes. And I don't know what they're waiting on. I think partially they're still waiting on the window to break away, and they'll collectively bargain then because it's a smaller amount of athletes that they'll have to do it with. They can break football away from the NCAA and do it there. They can break men's basketball away and do it there. Maybe that's what they're waiting on. But this does not solve anything. You wait and see. This won't solve anything. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. They're at absms.com. And when you are there, tell them I sent you. Because if you're a Mississippi business that needs office technology, anything technology related in the office, they'll give you a free technology assessment on me. Anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, absms.com. That's the website. Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. And also Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. It's a very interesting topic. No kidding. It's also crazy and frustrating. And Greg Sankey was playing golf with the president today. Who knows what's going to come from that? What do I think of the FPI rankings? Ole Miss at 13? That seems a little high to start the season, but 8-4 being their win-loss number felt about right until we know more about what Austin Simmons is, until we know more about what they are on the offensive line. So, is Hayden out of state fan? Yes. Yes. Unashamed of that as well. Good dude. Good dude. Don't let that steer you away. We'll stay on baseball tonight, but one last thing. Do you have any closing thoughts on Doyle Fisher and Vol fans? Also, what Arkansas was doing towards Tennessee. Here's my general principle. I understand why Arkansas lashed out the way they did, because everybody is sick of Tennessee and the way they act. I get it. But if you don't like the way somebody's acting, just put your head down and beat them. Because Arkansas engaging in that as well almost validates what Tennessee does. It almost like ignites that, as opposed to just beating them, silently beating them, which makes them look even dumber by acting the way that they do. So that would be what I would have encouraged my team to do, is ignore it, put your head down, let Fisher do the little shuffle, and let Liam Doyle cuss out every batter as he doesn't make it through the fourth inning today. I mean, just Let them be the clowns. You just keep your mouth shut and win. What would have been what I would have preferred if I were Van Horn. But it's very boring, but it's important. Now we just wait and see all the lawsuits coming down the road. Part of me was hoping for mass chaos if the settlement got struck down. There are definitely schools out there who have been paying in advance on the hope this passed. There's no doubt about that. Absolutely. Really appreciate all his content. Appreciate you, David. Thank you, man. How do we think Ole Miss should specifically divide up the revenue sharing if it were up to me? Well, it depends. How much were they able to get in with the Grove Collective for basketball and football before this? I can't imagine many none of the new baseball deals will be before the settlement was approved, but I mean, something like 85, 10, 5. Something like that. What are my picks? Oh, gosh, for the U.S. Open? Scotty, because I'm boring. I hate the way Rory's playing going into this, and that's fine. I really don't like the way he's handled post-Masters, to be honest with you. But it's Scotty's world, and we're all living in it right now. Would love to see Lucas Glover win another one, but that's a pipe dream at this point. How about the whole men's basketball and football revenue separation idea now that this has passed? We're getting closer and closer to that every single day. Every single day. Also, we'll be curious to see how Title IX fares in the future. I mean, see if I saved the quote. I thought I did. Yeah, here's the quote. To the extent that schools violate Title IX when providing benefits and compensation to student-athletes pursuant to the injunctive settlement agreement, class members will have the right to file lawsuits arising out of those violations. So now the schools are going to get sued by their female athletes because they're not getting an equal cut. The house settlement is already basically dead. I know it's a big day and a monumental day, and all the stuff that was written was true, but I really think that some of it, anyway, was not doing a good enough job of expressing really how flimsy this is. John Cohen really screwed Mississippi State at the start of the NIL era. Could not have possibly made a worse decision than the one that he made. The hard cap is based off revenue. It's not. So as I explained before, it's for everybody. It's a blanket number for everybody. Just don't know how a hard cap would truly be enforced. You can't enforce it. You can't. That's why this is so stupid. You cannot enforce it with how it's currently structured, because the second you try, you're going to get sued. The only way, I mean, the NFL enforces a hard cap because of the collective bargaining agreement. And if you violate it, if you violate any terms of those agreements, you get shot to the moon promptly. I mean, promptly shot to the moon. You lose draft picks for tampering. I mean, there's real structure and rules and an agreement, but this is, oh, well, Deloitte's going to do this. And then, hey, we're going to hire this guy to do this. And, oh, by the way, he's got to, I mean, they've got to oversee 350 different schools. It's just, it's nonsense. The whole thing is just absolute freaking nonsense. That's what it is. And until they break away in CBA, it's going to be nonsense. Have a hard time believing the SEC's done expanding. What two or more schools do I see joining the league in the future? Who would I want? Well, want versus what I think they'll get are two different things, I suppose. I would love Clemson to be in the SEC. Would love it. I think that they would fit right in. They would fit like a glove in the SEC. It's a pretty cool town. The nightlife leaves a little bit to be desired, but it's a pretty town. The campus fits well. The culture of the people, like they will fit right into the SEC. They play good football. Their stadium, facilities, environment, all that feels very SEC. And North Carolina for the brand. And yeah, that excludes Florida State, but I would rather have Clemson than Florida State. And maybe that's because I'm too close to it. I don't know, but there's a reason I didn't go to Clemson. But I do think they would fit in the SEC like a glove, man, just beautifully. Collective bargaining agreement is something that college players would never want to agree to. Make them. You provide the platform in which they play. I mean, this idea that the players have to have all the powers is something that I disagree with wholeheartedly. You are the product. You provide everything for them. If they don't want to sit down at the table and negotiate with you, okay, go play in the NAIA. You want hundreds of thousands of dollars a year? You want to play in the most beautiful facilities? You want to play in the biggest stadiums? You want to have the best weight rooms? You want to play in front of millions of people on TV? You got to sit down with us. You are the product. NFL players don't want to collectively bargain either, but they have to because the owners are the ones that provide the platform for them to thrive in. So, hard cap, won't there always be payments under the table? But here's the thing. I mean, sure, yeah, but why aren't there payments under the table for NFL players? Why doesn't an owner say, well, hey, look, I would love to give you your $200 million contract, but our salary cap situation is tough. So how about this? I'll give you $100 million. Like, I'll just wire you $100 million. So you have a $100 million contract, and I'll pay you the rest out of pocket. Why don't they do that? Because they would lose their team if they got caught. They would lose their team if that happened. Owners can't even have, like, Home Depot can't use a Falcons player to advertise because Arthur Blank. The NFL actually has rules that if they are broken, it is awful for you. So if you actually had a competent governing body of the sport that was actually competent compared to the NCAA and through a CBA or some kind of agreement could actually enforce rules and investigate those things, then there won't be under the table payments, or at least not very common, because then you could, by rules given, by power given to you through an agreement, you take care of business. Look at how the no-cap system has affected Major League Baseball, different sports, I know, but in modern baseball, it's astonishing that the Dodgers, Yankees, and Astros don't win every World Series. Well, baseball is the most volatile sport of them all, but I think the inevitable, we're just going to get five-year eligibility and JUCO not counting, so tons of players will be in college for years. It's not the worst thing in the world to have people stay in school longer. There will never be a way to get everyone to agree on something. All I know is that they need to find a way to stop the bidding wars and poaching and even the playing field. But you say there will never be a way to get everyone to agree on something. Why not? Why not? I know that's a very elementary question. But the SEC and the Big Ten and whoever they want to bring with them, they absolutely can get representatives of the players to agree to things. Or else you don't have the platform to play. If the NFL can do it, so can they at the college level. Astonish you how many media types cover college athletics. See, and what's fascinating to me, Austin, though, about the political side of this is you have these people that are uber, like ultra conservatives that cheerlead, that like that are so excited that there is now a salary cap that the legal adults didn't agree to. I don't know. Transfer portal window is one of the first things that has to be fixed. Yeah, go from 2-1 and move the one back some. Most people that cover college athletics either don't like it or live in an area where the sport is near non-existent, not to mention the geographic and political differences that make them hate the SEC. A lot of the media types go to Missouri or Northwestern and think they know what's best for college sports when they actually sound like idiots. Yeah, there's a lot of, and I don't think that they necessarily don't like what they cover. I've been around some of these people and I don't think they like anything. I think it's more about that because they just don't like anything at all. But there is absolutely a bias, whether they are aware of it or not, when it comes to talking about college sports in this region of the country. There is absolutely a condescension that comes with that. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Speaking of Ole Miss basketball, is this the best Ole Miss roster ever put together? Of all time, I don't know. When it comes to talent ceiling, since I've lived here in 2010. I moved here in 2010. Yes. So in the last 15 years, the talent ceiling on this roster. Now, some pieces got to kind of come together. I mean, you're bringing a guy in from France. You got one guy that's been to, seven different schools in the last 7 years that, you really need to get something out of. It's going to take a good coaching job to get these guys from all of these different places to come together, right? But in terms of talent and ability and roster construction, yeah, it is. Arkansas wasn't the bigger man. No, they weren't. And that's disappointing. It's disappointing. What does the settlement do for a school like Southern Miss? Force them to barely keep their head above water. That's what it does. Whatever happened to the Land Sharks? They're still there. I mean, I think that's the one thing. If, forget the mascot side of it because they designed it poorly. The story about the Land Shark defense is actually great. And that's where they really failed, really, really failed with that rollout is telling people more and like embracing that story about where that came from. And in the Kiffin era, I don't really see it that much, to be honest with you. And that's something, it's not the same, of course, as Chucky Mullins. That story's a little bit, that happened on the field. There's more history and I guess power to that, but the Landshark story is awesome too. And that's one that I think should be embraced more, just not the way they did it. The female lawsuits will definitely be coming without a doubt very, very quickly. Remember the talk out in California about how every athlete deserves the exact same financial cut. Is there going to be a school stupid enough to actually do that? No, there won't be a school that's dumb enough, but I'm certain there's a politician that will try to force a school to do it that way. You can, buddy, you can bet your house on some California politician when they find out that USC is giving the football players 80% of the revenue, they're going to try to put their foot down and stop that. Watch. And I guess it's a private school. It doesn't matter. You wait and see. Yeah, crazy. Mississippi State was ranked number one 10 years ago. Yeah, Florida State should not be in the SEC. I agree. I would do it to Clemson too. You don't need to give them lifelines. Them getting out of the ACC and joining the SEC is a lifeline. If you're South Carolina, if you're Florida, why would you do that for them? Would they do that for you? Is there any possibility of a college lockout and a bargaining dispute? There's always a possibility. There's always a possibility, but that right there, your follow-up is exactly what you use as leverage. Would players lose their scholarships and deals? Yes. If you want to have a lockout, you want to hold out? Okay. We'll play this year. We'll play and see what kind of revenue you can share with us next year. I don't understand why people are so afraid of making the players mad. They're college football players. Why are we afraid of making them mad? This process would be willingly making them wealthy beyond measure. But they have to make some concessions too. And people are like, no, that'll never happen. The players will never agree to it. Why not? I'm going to pay you lots of money. You have to show up on time. You have to be here for 2 years. You have to sign a 2-year contract, and in exchange, you will get $400,000. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So, all I know is this is a big year for the SEC. If you guys don't make the national championship or have multiple CFP playoff teams, the SEC will lose power in demanding playoff changes. I definitely will not make the national championship this year. Has to be an even number amount of teams. All right, yeah, well, of course. They would definitely add two. Chad Baker Mazzara age players where we poke fun at will become a lot more common as long as they keep suing for eligibility. Yeah. The SEC and the Big Ten together control the future of the playoff. Yes, they do. Together. Now, I think that the SEC should continue to play hardball with the scheduling. I do. Don't give in. It's not your fault that they went to 9 conference games. Do they want the expanded playoff or not? With Chris Beard's track record, the potential for the basketball team is very high. Huge. The UConn fan was trolling about Ole Miss losing in baseball. Jeez. The Tony Fine Landshark story is great. Such a missed opportunity. Totally. I mean, how many Ole Miss fans know that story? Not enough. Even if the number's high, not enough. Tired of pretending the Big Ten and the SEC are the same thing in football, especially every single school, with the exception of Vandy, is invested in football. But here's the thing, man. Even Vanderbilt. What happened to my camera? I think it's time for a new webcam, but I'll try to get this fixed. It's definitely time for a new webcam. Can you guys still hear me? Check, check, check. Yeah, you can. All right, we're just going to go this way. We're almost done anyway. My webcam is done. Anyway. It's done. I got to get a new one. Summer 2020 was such a disaster. Don't want to sound political, but the whole COVID thing, that season in general, was a complete joke and has put the fast track on the mess we have now 100%, because people just thought that you just had to just give. You just had to just give everything. Just give it all, give it all, give it all. And what a mistake that was. By the way, earlier, Vanderbilt is invested in football now. The Big Ten is a viable football conference, especially with Oregon and USC now in the fold, even Washington. It's viable. I just think the bottom's not as good. Lockout or strike? Cool. Scab players from the frat house. Yeah. I mean, I grew up on FCS football. I promise you, they can find players to play. If that's what it can, but it wouldn't come down to that. Leaders just have to have the willingness to go make these difficult decisions. That's what this comes down to. They have to be willing to bite the bullet and make a difficult decision and figure this out without being worried about what the initial reaction is, because nobody wants college sports to be the NFL. Nobody. But everybody that's a fan of college sports wants what the NFL has. Structure, enforceable rules, salary cap. So do what you need to do to get that, and everything else about college football will stay the same. So, all right, guys, I got to run anyway. So the webcam went out. I've got to get a new one of these things anyway. But in the meantime, I will see you guys on Thursday. So, again, we will be out of town on Tuesday, and we'll be back on Thursday. So anything that comes up between now and then, of course, we'll cover. In the meantime, you guys have a great week, and I will see you on Thursday.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.